Welcome back to the National Defense. It's Randy Miller. And now this is a story. I mean, this is a great story. TJ Newman is with us, former flight attendant. Now, Hollywood hot commodity. No. Now she's a power broker, is what I'm going to say. She started writing her first novel, Falling, during a downtime on long flights, jotting down scenes on cocktail napkins. That book became a publishing sensation, debuted at number 2 on the New York Times bestseller list, soon to be a major motion picture. And now she's back with her second novel called Drowning, The Rescue of Flight 1421, which is also has been sold to Warner Brothers for $1.5 million in a bidding war. I mean, this is crazy stuff. TJ, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me on.
You know, this is a story of perseverance, too, because your first novel was rejected 41 times.
It was. I wrote that book, as you alluded to, on the plane. I was a flight attendant, and red eyes were... That was my route. I love red eyes. I would put the passengers to sleep, and I would go to work. I would write by hand in the forward galley on, you know, the back of the catering bill or the passenger manifest, or I'd grab a cocktail napkin and just quickly jot down a note. And over time, flight after flight, I was able to cobble together my first book. And, you know, once I had that, I had to figure out how you go about getting a book published. I bought a book called The Essential Guide to Getting Your Book Published, and I read it, and I followed the directions. And step one is get an agent. So I start, you know, gathering all my materials and send it off, and 41 agents in a row rejected me.
Wow.
I kept going, and I sent it off to number 42, and my 42nd submission was my one and only yes. And that manuscript went on to be Falling, my first book, which debuted at number 2 on the New York Times bestseller list.
Yeah, it's an incredible story, too, and it's about a decision that a pilot has to make, commercial pilot has to make, to save his family or to save every person on the plane. And it's just an incredible story. And I always wondered about some of these stories, too, TJ, when you rejected 41 times, and then the book goes on to become gigantic. You think these agents go, why was I so stupid?
You know, I always wonder about that, but I'm grateful for those rejections because it got me to my right.
Sure.
Yes. Right? Yeah. You only need one yes, and it's got to be the right one. And I believed in that book deeply, and I knew that if I could find the right person that saw what I saw, which was the potential of what that book could be, that we could make it happen. And it just took 41 times to find that right person. So I'm grateful for those other rejections that they didn't take it on. Cause I'm not sure I'd be where I am without that right person to work as hard as we have worked to get where we are now.
That's a great way to look at things. Absolutely. We're talking to TJ Newman here on the National Defense. Her new book is Drowning, The Rescue of Flight 1421. So you're in Los Angeles right now, I think, right?
I am. I'm on the second day of my 12-city nationwide tour. My book, Drowning, came out yesterday, and I'm just at the start of a whirlwind national tour.
That's cool. That's so cool. I just came back from Los Angeles on a flight, and I left my phone in an Uber. Can you look around for it out there and see if you can maybe track
it? If you left it on the plane, I might be able to do something for you. Uber, I'm not so sure. It's out in the valley.
It's crazy. Listen.
In the valley.
Oh, it is maddening to try to get your phone back from Uber. It's you might as well just give up. I'll just tell people now. But
I believe it.
Oh my gosh.
I had a passenger one time on a red eye who came into the back galley in an absolute panic, and this was a grown man who had tears in his eyes and he was in a panic, and he said, "I left my computer at security at LAX." And this was his work computer, and it had all sorts of sensitive information that couldn't get out. This was like his job, his career was on the line. And we spent the entire red eye communicating with the cockpit, who was communicating with the ground, who was communicating with security, trying to get this man his computer to find it, track it down, and get it back to him. And we did that the whole flight long. But obviously, the computer's back in L.A. We were in New York, and so I never really fully found out what happened. Well, a week later, I'm walking through the terminal, and all of a sudden, I hear someone call out my name, and I turn, and it's that guy. And he comes running up to me and grabs me in this big hug, and he's crying again, and he's like, "You found it. They connected me with my computer. I had it. It was safe. It was fine." And it was like the nicest closure story. I couldn't believe we actually located the computer and got it back to him. And then I saw him later to get that happy ending. It was great. That is
so cool. Well, you know, and as a flight attendant, I mean, I am not surprised that you're a novelist, because you see things, I'm sure, in that line of work every single day that could be a novel, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, aviation, and when you're on a plane, there's going to be conflict. There's always conflict. And that is the bedrock of storytelling.
Right.
What is the conflict? And then there's the story. And as a flight attendant, we are trained to be situationally aware at all times, right? We're looking at every person around us, and we're trying to see what's going on. Does this passenger appear to be intoxicated? That man seems like he may be having something medically going on. Is this going to be a problem once we're up at altitude? Why is that woman crying? How is that going to play into things? So we are trained as safety professionals to be managing risk and assessing threats. That's what we do. And I realized when I started writing that the sort of more carefree aspect of that work is that I've been doing character study this whole time. For 10 years, I've got 100 strangers that I'm basically doing character study on and trying to figure out, what's her backstory? Where did she come from? What's her deal?
Right.
And that is how you write rich, interesting characters. And, you know, both of my books are the sort of theme of both my books are everyday people in extraordinary circumstances on the worst days of their lives.
Mm.
And I like to see what they do. Because, you know, I love reading big blockbuster summer thrillers. I love that. I love a huge action,
yes,
you know, story. I can't get enough of it. But at a certain extent, there's a little bit of distance, right? Like, I'm not an astronaut. I'm not going to space. I'm not actually an international spy. I'm not a Navy SEAL. As much as I love reading about this, there is a distance there, right?
Right.
But when you read about passengers on a plane, that's you, that's me, that's anybody.
Right, right.
And so you naturally go, well, what would I do if I was in that situation? What would I do if the plane I'm on crashes into the ocean 6 minutes after takeoff and then sinks with me and 11 other people inside the plane?
Oh, wow.
And then it's teetering on the edge of an undersea cliff. And that is the plot of Drowning.
Oh, wow.
My novel that came out yesterday. And so it's like, what do you do? If you're just an everyday passenger who's on a plane and suddenly you find yourself in that extreme of a circumstance, what aspects of your personality and the person next to you's personality are going to come out? Who's going to be a coward? Who's going to be a hero?
Right.
Who's going to be the comedic relief? And I'm fascinated by that sort of, let's see what happens when we amp up the pressure.
Yeah, that's so interesting. It's so interesting that your approach on that, because I do the same thing. I wonder about the people, especially at the airport and on a plane. You're like, what's that guy's story? What's he doing with that person? And you know, and there's so many different discoveries that you can make there. But is it worse now, TJ, as far as people just acting like an idiot on a plane?
I think there's definitely, you know, from the atmosphere of flying has, the temperature's been raised a little bit, I would say that. But I think we're going to be okay. I think humans are humans, and we're going to human all day long. And I think that people are understanding, at least that's the message that I'm hoping people get. And that's the message that I like hearing from people who read my books, is people read my books and they say to me, I never knew how many responsibilities flight attendants had. I never knew how well trained they are. Like, this has increased my respect for flight attendants.
Absolutely.
And that means the world, because people think that we're on board for beverage service, and that's not what we're there for. Like, I assure you, if you have a heart attack, I'm not going to bring you a Diet Coke.
Right.
I'm going to get the defibrillator and I'm going to shock your heart.
Right.
But
right.
That is what we are on board for, safety and security and to be medical first responders. Full stop.
I love it.
Service is just something that we gladly provide. And if you never see a flight attendant doing their job, that's a great day.
Right.
If all you ever see us do is bring you a drink, then I'm not doing my job. And that makes me very happy.
Listen,
but that's not what we're on board for. We're on board for safety and security.
You got a lot of jobs, TJ. I can't wait to read Drowning. It's so cool. TJ Newman, thank you so much for the time and continued great success.
Thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
We'll be right back here on the National Defense.